Praise God. Praise God. You glad to be in God's house today? Yeah? I am too. It's so good. Now, I was telling Pastor, I said, you actually don't have to have me speak on Sunday morning because you feel that, I'm not speaking. I say, it doesn't matter if I don't speak on Sunday morning because you are the maestro, you are the man of the house, you are the father, you should speak with the authority that God has given to you. Praise God. And we have been blessed, haven't we? We have been blessed by God's word week after week. And even from last week's message, learning from our weakness, praying through our weakness, it was so good. And I opened my YouTube, actually for other purpose, but up pop pastor service. I have to repent. Okay, I better listen again. And it was good. This time the message came with English subtitles. Have you seen? I don't know who did that. You know, it just came up with English subtitles as pastor was preaching. And I was blessed again by the word of God to remind us that when we are weak, God comes true for his people. Can I amen? And this time during pandemic and this COVID-19 thing, I mean, many of us are wondering what's going to happen. What's going to happen to the end of this year or next year? When are we going to travel again? Maybe some of you have got children overseas and friends overseas and you can't wait to go to them or they come to you. You know, and we are wondering, when are we going to, you know, to be able to do this again? But friends, I want you to know that God is in control. Hallelujah. He has everything in his hands and God is able to work great things for us. When we are weak, when we are troubled, that's the time when we say, Lord, you can do this miracle for us. Amen. Lord, you can bring this good thing in my life to come to pass. So this morning's topic I'm going to speak to you is on savoring your miracle. Savoring your miracle. And dear friends, I'm very confident that each one of you have experienced at least a miracle of God in your life. Not with me, if you agree. Yeah, I can see you. You know, salvation alone is a miracle from God. Who can turn our hearts to the Lord? Who can turn this stubborn, carnal self in humility, tears coming to God and say, Lord, I repent of my sins. Lord, come and bring new life into me. Huh? Except by the Spirit of God. Except it's a miracle of God. God works miracles. God works miracles in us and through us, through his people. Amen. This morning we sang the song, Water You Change Into Wine. I was so thrilled. It's already a miracle. I'm so thrilled because the praise team did not know the title of what I was going to preach this morning. Nobody knew. They did not know that I'm speaking from John chapter 2, verses 1 to verse 12. The first miracle that Jesus did at the wedding in Cana. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the first miracle that Jesus did. It turned water into wine. Friends, Jesus and his disciples were invited to this wedding celebration. Now, before we go into that, let us just read the word of God. Let us just pray and commit this time to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us pray first. Thank you, Father. Lord, we want to commit this morning service into your loving hands. We know, Father, that you have been with us even through the worship and through the praise of the people. Father, you have just blessed us so much with your holy presence, oh God. And our hearts are truly, truly grateful for your manifestation of your presence in us. Thank you, Father, for you are pleased when your children gather together to worship you in spirit and in truth. And so this morning, Lord, even for our friends who are watching us online, we pray, oh God, that you will bless them all, Lord, and bless us as we gather in your holy name. Father, open our ears and our understanding that we may know and hear what you are saying to us. Change us and transform us, we pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's read John chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. My time has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. And Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them up with water. They filled them to the brim. And he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now. But you have saved the best till now. Hallelujah. And this, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, this is a simple story. We have heard this so many times before, especially at weddings, Sunday school. At weddings especially, it's a lovely message to preach to the newlyweds, that the wine would never run dry, you know, because wine symbolizes joy and richness and smoothness and great things in your life. Amen? Yeah? I was so tempted to bring a bottle of wine to show you, but then I thought I better not, because I may be banned from further preaching in this church. So many of us, friends, we Jesus was invited to the wedding celebration, okay? And a couple didn't realize that they had a problem. Nobody knew, except, of course, the people who were serving the wine. They keep drawing, and then they saw the barrels getting empty. The servants were the ones that were worried. And many of us go through life without realizing that our barrel is dry. This morning we sang the song, make me a vessel of wine. Sometimes we forget, maybe this vessel is drying. The wine that is inside has already been gone and drunk and taken out. And we have not refilled that wine, that sweet wine from God. And we have our lives, our relationships have gone sour. Things that should have been good has turned bad. Things that should be fresh has turned stale. Relationships that should be treasured at the beginning, in the end, turned dry. And love became hate. Friends, love, trust became distrust. You know? And it should not happen in any relationship between husbands or wives, brothers, sisters, families, fathers, mothers, you know. Friends, these things do happen because of society, because of the work that we are involved in, the stress that you feel raising your family and your children and the work that you are doing, taking up so much of your time. So friends, business failures sometimes, expectations that are not met in our lives, the wine has run out. We have a problem. Maybe health, you know, we are faced with this health issue. The wine has run out. And so we need a miracle. We need a miracle. Every one of us who needs a miracle today. We do. Hallelujah. I do. You know, we need a miracle. And the only one that can bring that miracle to us, my dear friends, is Jesus. Invite him. Invite Jesus into our lives. Invite him not to be just a guest. Not just because you want to invite him for the sake of invitation. He's the best person to invite. Okay, no, I'll invite him. But no, invite him because you want him to celebrate in your life. You want him to celebrate with you this life that you have. Amen. So invite Jesus in. I want to quote Pastor last week. He said, Jesus goes where he is celebrated and not where he is tolerated. Not a religious, I have a Jesus. Okay, I put a picture of Jesus in my house. I put a picture of Jesus in front of my bed or above my head. Everything will be well. It's not that. Jesus is not to be tolerated in our homes. He's not a silent listener, but he wants to actively participate. He wants to actively be involved in our home. And we want to celebrate his presence with us. Amen. So, hallelujah. Jesus goes where he is celebrated and not where he is tolerated. So, Jesus was invited to this wedding. We didn't know whether it's a relative or it's a friend. The Bible doesn't say. But the mother of Jesus already also was there. And I'm so thrilled. This beautiful woman, Mary, she has a heart for God. Not only has she got a heart for God, God chose her, virgin birth, but she has a heart for people. How many of us, when we go for a wedding, we are Asians, some of us Chinese, we know in a wedding there is food and wine and feasting and joyous, your celebration is great. How many of us would ever wonder, will the wine run dry? Will there be enough for everybody? I wonder if this host has enough wine to feed everyone, to make everyone happy. None of us would ever consider that. We wouldn't even think of that. That would be the least thing on our minds, right? Because we are not the hosts. We are there as guests. Mary was there as a guest, but she was so aware of the need of this couple. She was so aware of the need of the parents of the couple. Save face. There's not enough wine. What to do? She brought this problem to Jesus. The best person that you can ever talk to when you have a need, come to him. Amen. So I want to present to you, how can we expect a miracle? How can I, you and I, expect a miracle in our lives? There are some preparations we need to make in us, in our adjusting our attitudes and our character, our way we relate to people and to ourselves. Okay? Number one, go a little further. Go a little further. I remember one Sunday morning, Pastor Stephen was preaching. Give everything you've got. That was his last point. Give everything you got. And I almost want to jump up because I had this in mind for my Sunday morning. Go a little further. Isn't it the same? Go a little further. Do what it takes and more to get your miracle. To get what God wants done in your life and through your life. Can I hear an amen? Yes. All right. So John chapter 2 verse 5, Mary told the servants, you know the scripture, do whatever he tells you to do. Okay? And verse 7, Jesus told the servants, fill the jars with water. Now the servants, I want you to imagine this scenario. This is a Jewish wedding. And Jewish wedding would take normally 7 days. Wow. We all want 2 days also, very tired. Tak boleh tahan. Pengsan already, right? This is 7 days of celebration from morning to evening. You know, and the food and the wine and the dancing and the music. Oh, I told Pastor, I said, I want to feel like doing a dance already. It's such a wonderful celebration. And imagine the joy, imagine the thrill, and everybody was there. The servants who are serving day and night. I don't know whether they work on shifts, but I'm sure they were exhausted. They were totally ready to hit the sack. And here it comes, it says, go and draw water. Fill the jars fill the jars up. Each jar contains 20 to 30 gallons of water, the Bible says. Now, how much is that? I cannot imagine. It's around about more than 600 liters per jar. 600 liters. Now, how many times do they have to go to the well to draw the water? The water is not from the tap, it's from the well. They have to run up and down. Up and down to feel that water. Can you imagine the tiredness, the exhaustion, you know, they feel? And they had to do that. They did it, all right? And they filled it not just to the top, they filled to the brim, overflowing. Hallelujah. They went the extra mile. They put in extra effort to get their miracle. And friends, you and I, in our lives, our working lives, thank God, we can go to work, you can go to work. We remember those days when we go to work, you are tired, you are exhausted. End of the day, you come home, you still have to attend to your children. Many of you still do. You still have to take care of them, make sure they have their food. And the husband has his food, which is different from the baby's. You cannot cook the same food, right? And if your mother-in-law is with you, then you have to have a different set of meals for your mother or your mother-in-law. So it's so difficult and so much of work to do. You are exhausted and you are tired. But yet, at the end of the day, You thank God, and you take some time to spend some quiet time with the Lord. I encourage you, dear friends, we need that quiet time with Jesus. You need that quiet time, be it morning, noon, or night. Find the time. Friends, if you are online and you are listening, find the time to spend with Jesus. Hallelujah. For me, good time is in the morning because I'm getting old. Praise the Lord. I don't deny that. Okay. Hallelujah. Grow old with grace. So sometimes you ask Pastor, sometimes I wake up at 3:30 in the morning. 3:30 in the morning, what can you do? 4 in the morning, sometimes at 5. But when the Lord wakes you up, spend the time, the quiet time. Go to His Word. Just love Him. Don't need to raise the whole house up. No need to make noise. Just spend time in His presence and love the Lord and say, God, what have you got to say to me? All right, and God will speak to you. Hallelujah. Find the time to get your instructions to help you through the day. Okay? So don't neglect your personal devotion. Even young people, find the time. You do have the time to spend time so that your mind and your spirit can be strong. Listen to what Jesus has to say. I also want to encourage us to go the extra mile in terms of caring and loving for your friends, for your family, for your children, for your cell groups, for your youth. Amen. For Sunday school, whomever, for somebody who is in need, your colleagues, maybe, right? Your neighbors, wherever, whoever God has brought into your path, God wants to use you to show that care, to go the extra mile, to show the love of Jesus to them. Can I hear an amen? We are the gospel. We are the gospel that the people are looking at. We are the open book of the gospel. You know, I was reminded during Paul's time, they went on missionary journeys and they went and preached the gospel and they started churches through much persecution. You know, Paul had a very difficult time. Later on, I will mention a little bit. But nowadays, like last year in 2019, Pastor and I were blessed with this privilege of going on our cruise, and we went so many nations, and of course we preached the word, of course we shared God's word, but rather it was like a beautiful journey, like a big holiday. It was nothing compared to what Paul went through. Paul was shipwrecked on the island of Malta. I mean, he got bitten by the snake. We went to the island of Malta. I mean, we had tour. We had nice food. We sat on nice tour bus. I mean, it's ridiculous. So what are we doing? We are living the gospel. We didn't go there to preach the gospel, but we live the gospel. We let the love of Jesus be exuberated from our lives. You know, we went around shining with the light of Jesus through us. This is a different way of ministering and bringing Jesus into situations. Hallelujah. I mean, nowadays we have it very easy. Friends, we have it very easy to go the extra mile. Can I hear an amen? So make this going the extra mile a new normal in our lives. Right? A new normal. Let it be new. If you haven't done it, then I encourage you to do it. Hallelujah. Do something nice for someone and surprise them. Oh, so nice. Your cooking is so good. I didn't imagine you can cook, but you did it well. Do something for someone. I know some of you have gone the extra mile being kind to your parents and taking them down memory lane and showing them places where they were when they were young and giving them the food and the love and the care. And this is excellent, so excellent for a believer and for Christians to do that. Continue to do what you are doing. Hallelujah. Go the extra mile. I encourage you because God will bless you. He will grant you your miracle. Your prayers will be answered. Amen. Because God sees whatever we do. Hallelujah. Secondly, the servants had wholehearted enthusiasm as they did this job. They were tired. They were exhausted. But they still had enthusiasm. Friends, we cannot be enthusiastic unless we have God in us. Because the word enthusiasm, and to be enthusiastic is to have God, Theo, right, in us. Then we can be enthusiastic. So friends, hallelujah. The is not in the Coca-Cola. The is not in your coffee or your cappuccino in the morning. The hallelujah, is in the Holy Spirit. I say it with reverence. We need the Holy Spirit. Can I hear an amen? We need the Holy Spirit. And to tell you the truth, this morning, I only had one cup of coffee. I didn't have more. So the hallelujah, the feeling of exuberance, the feeling of being enthusiastic for God is through the power of His Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So here we see in Ephesians 6, verses 7 to 8, Paul writes, serve wholeheartedly, all right, as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does. Whatever good he does. And I pray this morning, my dear friends, all of us, grace, members of Grace Church Shah Alam, also those of you who are listening online, do good. Do good. Whatever God has asked you to do, because the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or he's a free man, whether you are a servant, you are working for somebody, or whether you are your own boss, you know, you're working from home. Dear friends, do as unto the Lord, as you are serving Jesus Christ, not as men pleases, not for men to see, but wholeheartedly, no arguing, no contemplation, no saying, wait, let me think first. Okay, wait, let me go back and pray first. Imagine these servants. Jesus says, fill the jars with water. Wait, Lord, how can it be? How difficult it is. You can give us the order, but we have to do the carrying. We have to go and carry the water in this heat, in this weather. It's so hard. You know, there's a lot of, we can argue, oh, Pastor, it's easy for you to say, lah, fast and pray. You, Pastor, you are okay, you're all right. But me, I have to work outside. I have to get up early morning and go to work through the jam. How I fast and pray? Very difficult, Pastor. When God told you to do it, you better do it. Some things go by fasting and prayer, all right? Hallelujah. It's difficult to fast, but when the need comes, do it. Amen. Do it. No backbiting. No backbiting the master. He told us to do. Very fine. But ask him to do, see whether he can or not. Maybe he cannot even carry 10 pills himself. Huh? We backbite. Not in front, but behind. Don't do that. Okay? Don't do that. Because, hello, lo and behold, who's listening to the conversation? Huh? Who's listening to your backbiting and to your murmurings and to your complainings? The Lord. Yeah, because everything we do is unto him and he sees it. Amen. He sees it. Okay, friends, so don't give excuses how things cannot be done. If the Lord tells you to do, just do it. Hallelujah. Don't make sense, but they obeyed. They obeyed immediately and they followed wholeheartedly with enthusiasm. I would love to have those servants, those men in our team. Amen. In our church team, in our VIPs, those who run around and do, yes, sir, whatever you tell me to do, I will do it. No arguing. Hallelujah. No backbiting. No complaining. Spur others along the way. Hallelujah, friends. Because when you obey, your faith can be contagious. Just take one servant to do it, and then the rest will follow, and the rest will want to do it. So whatever you do for the Lord, whatever you do for the family, friends, your others will catch on. It will be contagious. Number three, the third thing that we need in our lives is the willingness to serve. John chapter 2, verse 8, Jesus says, now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies. Wow. Take this water from this barrel that is used for ceremonial washing, the water to wash hands and feet. Take it and give it to the master of ceremony. How can I? So malu to do that. So shy, how can? Fear and trembling. Upper knee. They will say, we are mad. We have worked too hard. Take this water and give to the master of ceremony. Yo, my goodness. How? But they obeyed. They were willing to serve. The servants followed his instructions. There was great teamwork. They didn't argue among themselves. You go lah. I back you. Since you are the leader of the servants, you go first. No, they all went. They took it, then they went and they gave. Oh my goodness. Great. Serving together. Bring the water. You know, friends, willingness to serve is a great attribute in our lives, to be willing to serve. When someone has called upon you, hey, sister, today I need somebody to help me. 2 hours with my kid. Can you help me, please? Or, mom, can you help me babysit my baby for 2 hours? I need to go to the bank very quickly and come back. If you are willing to serve, friends, God will bless you. Your miracle is on the way. Hey, is that simple? Yes. They are willing. Be willing. Can we have cell group this Friday? Yeah, I'm coming. I'm going to prepare something. Okay, I will bring something along. Do it. If you want to do, even if it's a salad, it's something nice to share, whatever extra you have in your home. Now it's mooncake festival. Bring some mooncakes along to the cell and bless everyone. I mean, willing. Be willing to do it. Amen. When you share and you're willing, God will bless. Yeah, hallelujah. It's a good attribute in your life. And you see pastor carrying all his bags out and you run along and say, pastor, come, let me help you. Huh, that's great. You're willing to serve. You know, last week we went for our daughter's birthday celebration in a place in the city. And oh my goodness, amount of things we had to pack when we checked out. Huh, it was more than what we brought. Because there were lots of things left over and people brought gifts and presents because it was a birthday. And we had to pack so many things. Plus the children and the family into one car, grandpa's car. Not a van. I said, okay, we need a bus. But actually, it was just grandpa's car. You know, and a man came. At first, the one who helped us, the worker, the butler in this place, I just say very, very plainly, he wasn't very helpful when we arrived. He wasn't very helpful to clear the dishes and do something. So I was not very happy. And I told Pastor, I said, we're not going to give him a big tip. It was bad. I said, we're not going to give him a big tip because I had something in mind to bless him. Then the next day, he redeemed himself. How did he redeem himself? By making himself useful. He was willing to serve. He came early morning. Oh, he packed my things from the fridge. He helped us take the things from upstairs, downstairs, put into the car and load the car and did everything and stood to wave goodbye to us. I mean, he was so nice. Oh, totally, I changed. I repented and gave him double of what I had in mind. Hallelujah. I mean, he was willing to serve. It was a good thing. And we want to bless him. So friends, I mean, we being earthly know how to bless, how much more our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Who sees us, who knows all our needs. Amen. He will bless you. Your miracle is on the way. Don't hold back. Be willing to serve and be willing to give. Acts 20, verse 19, Paul says, serving with all humility and many tears. Many tears. I mentioned earlier, Paul's ministry was so hard, so difficult. He went through much, much for the gospel. Beaten, you know, lashed, and kept in prison. I mean, all kinds of shipwrecked. He went through so much with humility and with tears. He was still willing to serve God. Still willing to serve God. And I want to encourage us today, friends, we need to continue. Take Paul as an example to serve the Lord. Miracles are in our hands. Amen? Amen? Miracles can happen through your hands. As the servants took the water and gave it to the master of the feast. You know the story. You know the story. When the master of the feast tasted, the water had turned to wine. Hallelujah. It's a miraculous provision Jesus did for the couple at this wedding. Miraculous. Start by being obedient and willing to do and do what Jesus tells you to do. The fourth point in my message is relishing your miracle, which is the topic, our title today, savor your miracle. I'm not a wine connoisseur. I'm not one who drinks wine because if I do, I will sleep. I'm not good company if I have wine. But wine is something when you see people who enjoy their wine, you know, they will drink it, they savor it, they relish it, they swivel it in the mouth. I don't know what they do, right? You know, you will even go for wine tasting everywhere, right? Yeah, don't shout and say hallelujah, amen. But you do. I know. So here you are. You taste it. And it's good. It's smooth. I'm not a wine drinker. But yeah, I know. When I drink a wine, I know whether it's vinegar, whether it's sharp taste, or whether it's smooth. It goes down smoothly. It brings warmth in your heart, in your belly. It's good. That's good wine. Yeah, and I like sweet wine. Hallelujah. I'm not promoting. Okay, neither am I selling. Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see. The word, Psalmist David is like an aftertaste. Oh, it's like after tasting of the goodness of God, like drinking sweet wine. He said, oh, this is the best. So I know what you're going to have this evening, okay? Psalmist David said, oh, taste and see. The Lord is good. Is he good to you?
Is God good to you?
You have tasted of His goodness. Amen. You have your families healed. You have got relationships healed. You have got your provision. You have got your healing. Hallelujah. You have got your prayers answered. You have tasted and you have seen that the Lord is good in your lives. Can I hear amen? Yeah, He is good. He is good. So when we receive answers to prayer, sometimes it comes very quickly, like this miracle of turning water to wine. Just take and just put it to the lips. It's already a miracle. But for some of us, our miracles take longer. You're praying for salvation of your brothers or sisters, father or mother. It takes longer. Some people, very fast, very quickly. By evening, by the next day, by the next week, the miracle has happened. Huh? We have received, even during this MCO time, some of you, your parents were sick and sent to hospital and prayed for them and they have received the Lord Jesus into their lives. I mean, so quickly, it was like such a miracle God has done for you. Amen. So fast and so quick. But for some of us, it may be longer. But hold on to it because your miracle will be with you. And you will be able to savor it, to relish it, and to say, ah, it is something good, something pleasurable. Hallelujah. This miracle that God has for me. And friends, enjoy what God has given you. Enjoy your miracle. Enjoy your provision. Huh? Don't think and look at what you lack, but rather thank God for what you already have in your hand. Amen. Thank God for what He has already done for you. That's wonderful. Let us do that. Let us be people who are thankful. And you can enjoy the miracle because God always gives the best to His children. The best He has for you. Hallelujah. So savor what God has done, yeah, provided for you. God has supported you even throughout this MCO time, this COVID time. Some of you maybe think that you may have lost your jobs, but your jobs are still there. Your boss is able to pay you. Thank God. Thank God that you are still able to earn and to be blessed by the Lord. Now, the master of the feast, he tasted it. He relished it. Swiveled it in his mouth. His eyes rolled. What's this? Wow, this is good. This is really good. Now, I want to know where this wine comes from. Servants were trembling. They don't say anything. Frightened. What's this? I want to know where it came from. Call the couple to him. And a confession. Number five, last but not the least, John 2 verse 9 and 10. Now when the master of ceremonies tasted this now that was made wine, not knowing where he had come from, called the bridegroom over. Oh, he said, man, you know the story. People bring the best first and later they get drunk and they don't know and then you bring the bad wine for them. No, you have kept the best till now. Hallelujah. Jesus wants to do this for every one of his children. He wants to keep the best for now. Hallelujah. He has the best for you. So I want to say to you, my dear friends, the best is yet to come for your lives. Amen. This is not over. It's not finished. Your life, there are more things God has for you. Miracles God has for you is yet to come. So hang on there. Keep trusting God and be faithful to Him. Hallelujah. Be faithful to Him. You know, wine making process is not, it's a long process. I'm not a connoisseur, like I said, therefore, I'm not into winemaking, but it takes 6 steps. Harvesting, destemming, sorting, fermentation of grapes, pressing the grapes, the aging, the maturing, and the bottling, keeping the wine in barrels, oak or steel or whatever, red wood. They put it in the cellar in dark places. Humidity must be just right. Temperature must be just right. The lighting must be just right. I mean, all these things are taken into consideration. It takes years and years to produce a very good wine. Friends, I Googled and found out that the best wine, I don't know how to pronounce the name, forgive me, but the best wine costs like US$17,000 per bottle. US$17,000. I don't know. What kind of wine is that? But friends, it takes years and years and work sweat to produce that good wine. But what Jesus did was in an instant. The miracle is something good and pleasurable that God can do for you and me in an instant. Hallelujah. And that is the amazing God that we serve. Praise Him. Hallelujah. Let's arise. Thank you, Lord. What a great God we have, able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ever ask or imagine. Oh God, we just want to thank you and praise you. Ask pastor to come and musicians to come forward this time. And let's prepare our hearts. Let's prepare our hearts and just thank God for what He's doing in each one of us, making new wine in us. We are like these barrels, these jars that hold the water, and we want this water in our lives to be turned to new wine. Hallelujah. That can be a blessing to us and also to others who taste of our lives. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.